I am glad to be back here. It's been a while and didn't realize how long it's been. But I guess when I was here last, I was in evangelism and now I'm pastoring. And I'm hoping the Lord will let me out on good behavior at some point in time. I didn't realize the challenge of pastoring. Before I preached to people, now I've got to preach with them. I got to be with them. That's a great thing. But here's the thing about that I've learned. I can't figure out the people who would get mad at me because I didn't visit them who didn't like me in the first place. You know, preachers can be idiots and people are no exception. That's just the way I've found that we're strange birds, preachers are, but people can be strange about things. And then some will say, "You never visited me." Well, I did, and you weren't home because I was in the hospital. Well, you didn't tell me you were in the hospital. I didn't know. And so when they get out of the hospital, I go visit them, and they'll say, "Why are you coming to see me?" Well, I'm coming to visit. Well, I'll let you know when I want you to come visit. And it's just strange. People can be strange. And so I'm glad Pastor Mawson doesn't have to deal with anything like that up here. It's just Georgia. I feel like it's just Georgia weather, and it does things to people. But I love it. Really, what I love is the fact that the church is God's idea. And it's not my church. These are not my people. They're the Lord's, and they matter to Him, and it's a privilege to be able to watch God work. It's not easy. The hardest thing I've ever had to do is pastor. Preaching is the easiest part. Preaching is what I love to do the most. It's what I do the least, though. Pastoring is different than preaching. Pastoring includes preaching, but it's a lot different. And one great help to me in pastoring is looking to the one great example as the chief shepherd, Jesus Himself. And seeing how Jesus involved Himself in the lives of people helps me. Now, I will never be perfect like Jesus, but I'm glad He's given us a perfect example. But there are some things even about Jesus. We saw a little bit in Sunday school that we can say Jesus is the answer, but we're not going to benefit from it unless we respond accordingly and appropriately to Jesus. We can all agree that He's the way, the truth, and the life, but until we respond to Him, we're not going to benefit from the way, the truth, and the life. Luke chapter 5, if you take your Bible and turn there, I'd like for us to see, by way of a real incident in the life of Jesus, in a physical incident, what Jesus wants to do in a spiritual way within our life. In fact, everything that Jesus did in a person's life physically was because He wanted to do something even of greater significance spiritually in their life. In Luke chapter number 5, we'll notice at the middle way of this chapter or early on, but down to verse number 12, if you could. Now let's go ahead and stand together before you put your seatbelts on and look at verse number 12 of Luke chapter number 5. It says, "And it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he," that is Jesus, "put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. And he charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest and offer for thy cleansing, according as Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities." Ah, what a passage. I, in my mind's eye, try to envision. Sometimes we can become numb to the verses that we read so often, and in the wonderful King James eloquence, we can miss the actuality of what was transpiring and taking place. But I want us to look here this morning in light of what I think that God's wanting to do in our midst in these few services that we have together. I want to preach this thought. When you need a touch from God, when you need a touch from God, how we can get to Jesus. I think that's what we all need. Some might need salvation this morning. Some might need some help and healing and health to our souls. Some might need some encouragement. Some might need deliverance. The answer is still the same. We need to get to Jesus. When you need a touch from God, how we can get to Jesus. Thank you. Please be seated. Luke describes different scenarios in this chapter. He talks about Peter at the beginning of the chapter. We're looking at the leper who is about to be delivered. We see a man of palsy in after this, and then Levi changing from his old to the new. But we're focusing here on this particular incident. We remember Jesus. We preached to multitudes, but he was always consumed with the individual. And I'm grateful for that. He preached a message to the world. He so loved the world, but yet he's concerned with the individual. Religion is about the God of the masses. Jesus is about being a savior to every individual soul. This man here in this passage, he needed a caring touch. He needed a touch from God. He was a leper. The significance is no one wanted to touch him. No one wanted to be around him. There are 9 cases of leprosy recorded in the Bible. The first one was Moses. The second one was his sister Miriam. Others that were significant was Naaman, King Uzziah, and Gehazi. The Lord Jesus healed the sick, the Bible says, but he would cleanse the leper. Luke, the writer of this passage, the physician, Luke, Dr. Luke, he doesn't just tell us that this man was a leper, but the wording he uses is that he was full of leprosy. He's telling us that everything about this man is bad. He's ghastly. He's repulsive. It's a classic picture of sin. What leprosy does to the body is what sin does to the soul. Leprosy was incurable at this time apart from a miracle. And the truth is, there is no cure for our sin problem apart from Jesus Christ. The greatest need that we have is to encounter God. The greatest need that we have is to experience God's touch within our life. And we find so often people are struggling with a sin. Not just sin general, but particular sins. And even when people get saved, there tends to be a particular sin that they may struggle with. And because we can't find deliverance from it, we can justify it. Well, I'm Irish, therefore my anger's okay. No, it's still sin. Well, I grew up this way, and therefore it's not a problem. No, it's still sin. If it put Jesus on the cross, it is a big deal. And we've got to recognize that sin is never okay. A little bit of sin is not okay. A little bit of leprosy, no one ever said, well, that's okay. And we need to get to Jesus. There's some things that we need to remember. Notice in verse number 12, and it came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy who, seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought him, saying, when you need a touch from God, would you remember this? Jesus is approachable. You can get to him. Jesus is approachable. A lot of times we have conjured up in our mind, I'm too bad, too far gone. No, Jesus is approachable. This man says, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Listen, Jesus is approachable. The man did not come right out and ask Jesus to cleanse him, yet that was his desire. There was a time where I would have criticized this man because I would say this man knew the ability of Christ, but he was unsure of his will. But really, I think it might be more accurate to say this man was sure of the ability of Christ. He says, thou canst, you can do this. And he was submissive. He says, Lord, if thou wilt. Let me remind us. Jesus is willing. He's approachable. Jesus can be approached. You can get to him this morning. But if you're going to get to him, you and I are going to have to get to him the way this man did. He's coming to the Lord and he is saying, I am unclean. He's saying, Lord, cleanse me. I want to be clean. That's my desire. I will be thou clean, Jesus says. But he's saying, this man is saying to him, I'm in trouble. I'm in a mess. Listen, he had to express an awareness of his need. He's not coming and saying, I need to be clean. What do you need to be cleansed of? I don't know. Someone says, I need to be saved. What do you need to be saved from? Well, sin, of course. Someone says, no, I don't have a sin problem. Well, then you can't be saved. And you've got to be aware of your need. This man was aware not just of his need, but even his sin, because it was made the assumption that someone who is leprous was that way because of a sin problem in their life. He's aware of his sin need. He knew he needed cleansing. Unclean, unclean is what he had to announce to even get through the crowd. He couldn't go into a crowd without, he couldn't have come into this church service without yelling, unclean, unclean. He had to put people on notice. And so often people come to church and they'll say, well, I don't get anything out of it. Well, maybe it's because you didn't acknowledge your need as being unclean. Maybe you only said, unclean, 25%. Oh, unclean, just a little bit. God, now I need you to do your thing. And God is saying, no, you need to do your thing. James 4 and verse 8, draw nigh to God, He will draw nigh to you. How? Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. I need to be clean. He was aware of his need. Are you aware of yours? One of the great tragedies in a revival meeting is that I feel like too often we have to spend most of the time convincing God's people that they need God. We saw this morning in Sunday school how Jesus turned away from the multitude to focus on the disciples so that the disciples could go after the multitude. But could you imagine Jesus talking to the disciples about it and the disciples saying, I don't think we need this. And so often we're calling for people to come to Jesus and approach Jesus and people are saying, I don't know that I need Him. Oh, I talk to Him every day. But God says, if you regard iniquity in your heart, the Lord will not hear. I come to Jesus. I experience His blessing every day. Are you talking about the blessing of being alive? Lost people going to hell experience the blessing of physical life. But you're not approaching Jesus until you are aware of your need for cleansing. When was the last time you got clean? I'm talking about clean. Jesus said over in John chapter 15, the last night with His disciples before He went to the cross, and He talked about getting clean. He says, you are clean through the Word. And then He goes on to say, abide. I want to tell you why a lot of times young people go off to camp, God does a work, they come back and it doesn't last. Why a lot of times people can go through a revival meeting, God works, but after a revival meeting it doesn't last. Why a lot of times people can sit in the pastor's office and they can get right, but it doesn't last. It's because they figure out, I do need to get clean. They figure out, the only way I can approach God is humbly and recognize my need for cleansing. But when they get clean, they don't see the point of getting clean. Jesus said in John 15 to the disciples, you are clean. Remember in John 13, He washed their disciples' feet. That's the same night, same context. In John 15, says, you're clean. Now He says, abide. See, the point of getting clean is not being clean. The point of getting clean is so that we can experience the touch of Jesus, so we can experience God within our life. And a lot of times people will attempt to get clean, and they only get partially clean because they're afraid of saying, "I'm clean, I'm clean. All of my sin need to be cleansed." And we just kind of dabble with it because the other crowd is dabbling. The other crowd is saying, "Oh, I need to be cleansed. Oh, I need to be. Oh, I need to be cleansed too." But just I'm just a little sinner. I'm not a really big sinner. I've been here longer than everybody else, and so I don't really need a lot of Jesus. No, you need all of Jesus. You need all of Jesus. And so the need is to be clean. But the point of getting clean is not to say, "I'm clean. I'm clean." The point is so that we can say, "It's Jesus, Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus." You with me? I don't think you're getting it. And so, you get up in the morning. You get a shower. How many get a shower in the morning? I'm afraid to ask who gets showers at night based upon that ratio there. I'm afraid I get disappointed by the... Anyway, you get up in the morning, you get your shower, and you get done, and you get dressed, and you usually don't say, "I did it! Woohoo! Clean! Now I go back to bed." No, that wasn't for the most of us. It's not the highlight of our day. That's just the beginning. The point of getting clean and getting dressed and getting ready is because there's more in store. And many look at, "Oh, I know, I dread the revival meeting. I dread these, dread meeting with pastor. I dread going to camp." Because why? They're going to tell you you need a shower. They're going to tell you you need to get right. They're going to tell you you need to get clean. If that's what you're struggling with, you haven't met with Jesus. No, wait a minute. You've not met with the Jesus of the Bible. You are an idolater. You've created an image of God that's not the God of the Bible. The only way you're going to get to Him is the way this leper got to Him and say, "I'm in bad shape. I am a mess. I am full of sin." Are you aware of your need? Are you really aware of what Jesus is up to? You know, He's looking for you this morning. He was aware of His need for cleansing. Remember, Jesus is approachable. There's a tragedy today of the comfortable Christian. It's tragic that many Christians cannot accept that you're just not acceptable to God in your sin. You just, well, they accept me, so why shouldn't He? Because He had to die for your sin. He accepts you based upon Him, not your sin. He accepts you because He loves you to forgive you of your sin. It's not okay. Well, society says it's okay. We're not talking about society because society can't deliver. We're talking about a miracle that is needed, that it can only come from Jesus. When you need a touch from God, we need to get to Him. Remember, Jesus is approachable, but in order to approach Him, we must be aware that we have a need. We have a need for cleansing. But not just that He was aware that He had a need for cleansing, but then He displays total submission to Christ. See, Christ's healing touch does not come in response to some casual, irreverent acknowledgement. It comes from bowing before Him, the realization He is our only way. And when this man comes to Jesus, the Bible says in verse 12, who's seen Jesus, he falls on his face. He fell on his face. He besought Him, saying, "Lord, if Thou will, Thou canst make him clean." And the indication in Mark chapter 1 of this passage is that he's repeating this. It's a repeated process. And today, there is such a mindset of so many of Christians who are just so arrogant, just so I'm not going to budge. Remember, one man said to me one time in a Sunday morning of a revival meeting, he said, are you going to try to budge us? I said, if God can't budge you, why should I try? I'm not here to budge you. I'm here to tell you, Jesus is approachable. He's willing. He's waiting. He's looking. He's longing. He loves you. But in order to come to Him, it can't be this casual, well, I don't really need much. I'm not that big of a sinner. Yeah, my tongue can go from here to Birmingham, Alabama, and it's ripped up a lot of people's lives. Yes, I've got arrogance that is a stench in the nostrils of God, but I'm really not that bad because, you know, I don't do some of the big sins that are socially unacceptable. No, but you're not really getting to Jesus either, and that's a problem. This man is totally submissive. Let me ask you, when was the last time you've been to an altar? When was the last time you just came and got down on your face, just broken and submissive to the Lord? You know, someone said, well, all you're trying to do is get us to the altar. You can sleep here all night, it'll not change your life. But the moment you humble yourself, He will. God resists the proud. He resists the... This is to be a revival meeting, not a God-resistant meeting, but the choice is yours. You will vote for Him or against Him based upon your humility or your pride. And there's not a little bit of humility and a little bit of pride. It's not that. I don't care what kind of flavor of the day you make it. That's not God's perspective. It is either pride or humility. It is either broken or it is bowed up against God. And here's a man who is submitted. He falls on his face. Someone said, well, you don't have to go forward to be spiritual. No, but you do have to humble yourself. I want to suggest that the number of times we don't go forward is not because you're too spiritual. One lady said, well, if I ever got down at the altar, my knees are so bad I probably couldn't get up. I said, good, it would do you well to stay there. We get cute about stuff like that. We get cute about it. We have for a period of time, we try to change things up a little bit, but Sunday morning we often call worship service. In our society's mind, worship, when you mention that, people think of worship as, ooh, and it's dark and there's smoke, and well, where do we get that from? I don't find that in the Bible at all. In fact, the most biblical posture in all the Bible when it comes to worship is kneeling, bowing. You do your own study. In fact, the Bible says, Philippians chapter 2 and Romans chapter 14, every knee shall sway. Every tongue shall shout. No, it has nothing to do with us. It's not about entertaining. It has everything to do with Him. Every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that He is Lord. And we would have a time on purpose where we're going to call it a worship service, where we're going to ask people to take their time getting out of their seat and getting down on their knees. And we're not asking God for anything. We're not even announcing anything. We're just going to worship before Him. We're going to spend some time in adoration and praise before Him. And we've got a man in the church, he's 95, he just turned 95 this spring. And Dr. Childs gets out of his seat before I'm even done making my explanation. The most biblical posture in all the Bible is worship. He gets out of his seat, he gets down on his knees, and he lays out prostrate on the ground. And he cries out to God. And sometimes people have said, Dr. Childs, you don't have to get out of your seat. I mean, God understands, and certainly God understands, there's nothing special about bending your knee and refusing to bow your heart. But there is something about when in your heart you bow and you confess that He is Lord and you're totally submissive to Him, it's hard to stay seated in your seat and say, I just don't think I got to do it. I just think I'm too dignified for this. I'm just saying, we're fooling ourselves when we say we're getting to Jesus and experiencing Jesus. And that's why there's no lively activity of Christ in your life. That's why there's no love for the church. That's why there's no passion for following Bible Christianity. That's why you have to make your own rules of Christianity, is because you're not aware of your need for cleansing and you're not submissive to Him. But another aspect in approaching Jesus and knowing that He's approachable is it does require some faith. This man was convinced that Jesus could meet with him. Jesus could cleanse him. Jesus could heal him. And I want to say, it's going to take a measure of faith. You say, what if I come through? What if I come to an altar? What if I get all in? What if I unload the truck? What if I cry out to God? What if I give my life to God? What if I do all that? And what if He doesn't do it? He's God. He will. You draw nigh to Him, He will draw near to you. Would you remember that Jesus is approachable? Hey, listen, Christ never seems to be too involved with people who are content with the way they are. Jesus is approachable. Jesus is touchable. There's never a time in the New Testament where I can find Jesus turning away hurting people. He feels your hurt. He knows what you're going through. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And Jesus says, I will give you rest. But you've got to come. Know this, He's approachable. Here's the second thing. Notice in verse 13, He put forth His hand and touched him, saying, I will. I will. Be thou clean. Listen, Jesus is approachable. You can get to Him, but you've got to be fully aware of your need. You need cleansing, just like this man confessed he needed cleansing. You need to come and submit to Him, and you need to exercise confidence in Him. But know this too, Jesus is willing. He's willing. I will, Jesus said. The Lord didn't shy away from coming into contact with this man. Everyone else did. When he would cry, unclean, unclean, the crowd would part. Jesus did what every pastor is doing, what your pastor does. Jesus is demonstrating really what the church is about and what every church member ought to be doing. Jesus steps into a messy life. You know, when you have people, you have a mess. And Jesus stepped into it. Everyone else parted. Jesus stepped into the mess of life. You know what church is? It's a place where you can hurt out loud. We're past COVID, but people still live behind a mask. Revival meeting is a good place to take the mask off. Why? Because Jesus is willing to get into the mess of your life. Despite the do not touch signs, a museum was having no success in keeping the guests from touching the priceless furniture and art, and they would soil it by touching it. But the problem seemed to fix and resolve overnight when one clever employee of the museum, he replaced the signs that used to say don't touch with signs that said caution, wash hands after touching. People were afraid of contamination and they stopped touching. Remember in COVID? You couldn't even choke and get help. I was sitting on the plane yesterday and I was drinking some coffee and I just swallowed wrong and I started coughing. And I thought to myself, I couldn't do this if it was COVID. They would have stopped the plane, turned back around because you got somebody coughing. And we would talk about those stories, and you can remember those. Remember one of the staff members said, I had to go to Home Depot to get some tools and had to wait in line. And he said, I had to sneeze, and I was so afraid to sneeze. I mean, the trials we had because people were afraid of being contaminated. Remember, and you probably did the same, have to clean the auditorium in ways that we find out later that this wasn't really helpful. It wasn't helping. It wasn't healthy. But we did what we thought because people are afraid of contamination. And here, Jesus is willing to step into the contamination of a person's life because he's willing. Listen, the reason why your pastor is here, the reason why this church exists is not to take people that are polished pieces of artifact and to put us on display. This is not a country club. It's a church. It's a place where people can come and hurt out loud and take the mask off and say, I'm unclean. I don't know what to do. But we should know, and that is to help them get to Jesus, who's willing to step into the mess of their life. And in so doing, we ought to be willing to do the same as well. But you don't know how bad it is. You don't know how much junk is in my life. Oh, but Jesus cares. Oh, I'm so thankful for that. Not only is Jesus approachable, not only is Jesus willing, but would you notice a third thing? Jesus says in verse 13, put forth his hand, touched him. He's saying, I will. Be thou clean. And notice this, and what's the next word? Immediately the leprosy departed from him. Not only is Jesus approachable, not only is he willing, I want to tell you this. I don't care how unclean you are. I don't care how messed up you are. I don't care how bad it is. Number three, Jesus is able. He is able. He's able to do something with your sin problem. He's able to do something with your addiction. He's able to do something with the bondage of sin. He's able to do something with your hurt. It's one thing to have a heart of concern. It's another thing to be able to do something about it. Jesus is able. He's not only willing to save, he's able to save, and he's able to save now. Simultaneous action, I think, is taking place. Jesus puts his hand upon him, and he says at the same time, I will be thou clean. The word and the work of Jesus is taking place. Genesis 1 and verse 3, God said, let there be light. And there was light. The word and the work of God at place. And immediately, God's work was taking place, the Bible says. Jesus said, I will. Jesus' response to this man's submission is, I will. That's why I'm here. I will. I'll get involved in your life. I will be thou clean. You need to get to Jesus this morning. He's approachable. He's willing. He's able. And Jesus touched, and it demonstrated the cleansing miracle. But I want you to see a last thing. Verse 14. He charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest and offer for thy cleansing according as Moses commanded for testimony unto them. Not only is he approachable, not only is he willing because he cares, not only is he able to do something, but would you know this? He is worthy. He's worthy after you meet with him and discover him and find him. He's worthy to follow. He's worthy to tell others. Jesus charged the man, show yourself to the priest, which was required under the Mosaic law. And he says, but don't go and tell anybody. But what happens? He couldn't help but tell. And yet Jesus has told us to go and tell everybody. And yet we find it a struggle to tell anybody. If you're out of touch with people, my experience is because I'm out of touch with God. Programs are not designed to be an end in themselves. Programs and things are to equip us, to energize us, to really help us strategize in getting out into the mess of people's lives and show them the simplicity that is in Christ. Listen, the Ark of the Covenant is like the programs of a lot of places today. The Ark of the Covenant was something that was to symbolize. It was something to reflect. It was to reflect the presence of God and the power of God, the place of God, the provision, the protection. And our programs, it ought to reflect that. But the answer is not in the program. The answer is in God. And today, the church of the living God, a church family, is the body of Jesus in which Christ is the head. And the church is to connect people to the one who can provide the transformational touch. And when we lose touch with Jesus, we are not as motivated to tell others where they too can find His touch. Jesus told the delivered man to go and tell no one. Yet I get the idea he went and told everyone. And again, the Lord commands us to tell everyone. And too many times we're content to tell no one. I say we need to get to Jesus. Yep. What does it look like? It may look different for each of us, but we come to Him the same way. In complete honesty, in total submission, and in faith. Let's stand together, please. Lord, I do ask that You would help us in these times